T.D. Worthington, pastor of the Pathway Baptist Church in Goldsboro, North Carolina. And this is Pathlight, and we're so glad to have you tuned in to today's broadcast and hope you'll stay with us for the entire program today. In just a moment, I'll be sharing with you a message entitled Delayed Deliverance. I'm sure if you're like most of us, you've asked the Lord for things before and, well, it didn't happen as quickly as you'd hoped. As a matter of fact, perhaps it's not happened at all. We'll be talking about that a little bit today. Just before we get around, though, to today's message, I would like to mention to you Pathway Christian Academy. We're beginning our enrollment now for the fall. So if you have a child in kindergarten through grade 12 and you're interested in checking out a Christian educational program for that child, let me ask you to check out Pathway Christian Academy in Goldsboro. We have limited availabilities in most classes right now, but you need to hurry because they are filling up fast. Check us out online, pathwayacademy.org, pathwayacademy.org. You'll find all the information you probably need right there. And then if you'd like to schedule an appointment where you can come out and take a look at the campus and have a tour and talk with someone, then of course we can make that happen for you. Again, that's pathwayacademy.org. Again, the message today is entitled Delayed Deliverance. You stay with us. We'll be getting around to that message right now in just a moment. But right now, a musical selection coming your way.
Early in the morning, on the first day of the week, Mary came with others, the borrowed tomb to see. Drawing near, there was an earthquake, adding to her doubts and fears. Then her angry soul was lifted from the angel she did hear. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. He is not here. Those were the words he said. Sin has been defeated by our risen Lord. The chains of death he has broken. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. She stood before the shining angel who had rolled the stone away. He said, "Fear not, I know whom seeking. Come see the place now where he lay. His countenance was as lightning, his raiment white as snow. He said, you must tell the disciples, now quickly you must go. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. He is not. Defeated by our risen Lord, the chains of death he has broken. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. He is not here. Defeated by our risen Lord,
love Squire Parsons, and he's alive. He's alive forevermore. Delayed deliverance. That is the title of today's message. Delayed deliverance. Let me make a statement as we begin today's service, and that is this. God answers prayers. Now, I believe that because of personal experience, but I also believe that because of Scripture. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and I believe that. The Scripture says you have not because you ask not, and I believe that. So here we go with that special note that God answers prayers, and it says so in the Scriptures. Also, I know it from experience. But let me tell you something. Sometimes God answers my prayers very quickly. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's a matter of minutes. I've seen prayers answered very quickly. But sometimes it takes hours or days or weeks or months or years. And frankly, there are some things I prayed for that I still have not gotten an answer to yet. I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes God just does not seem to get in a hurry. David experienced this in Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, where he says this, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David said, I almost gave up. I believed in my heart I was going to see the goodness of the Lord while I was still alive. He says, in the land of the living. He said, I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to be of good courage. I believe he's going to strengthen me. But he said, it is sometimes hard to keep going. I remember reading the story of a man with a toolbox in one hand and a clipboard in the other, and he rang the doorbell of a home, and a lady answered the door. He said, good morning, ma'am. He said, I'm the plumber, and I've come here to fix your leaking pipe. The lady looked at him and said, well, sir, that's fine, but I didn't call a plumber. I don't have any plumbing problems. He said, you didn't call me? She said, no. He looks at his clipboard. He looks up at the house address. He said, well, this is the right place. He said, aren't you Mrs. Foster? And she said, no, I'm not Mrs. Foster. He said, actually, the Fosters moved away. She said, oh, I guess it's been a year ago. Well, the plumber said, well, isn't that the most inconsiderate thing you've ever heard in your life? Can you believe that? They called for a plumber. They said it was an emergency. The lady said the pipe was leaking and flooding her whole house, and she told me to get here as quickly as I could. He said, I rearranged my whole schedule to come here, and now when I get here, I find they moved away a year ago. Well, sometimes it seems as if God responds to our emergencies, kind of like that plumber responded to that call. We're in a crisis, and we cry out, but God doesn't seem to be in any hurry at all. And sometimes God delays that answer. All of us at one time or another have prayed and asked God for something we've had to wait for and wait some more. Waiting is perhaps one of life's most difficult tasks. As a matter of fact, we hate the fact that we have to wait for anything. We become a society where delays are simply not tolerated. You're having to wait in line at the drive-up or whatever the case might be. No one likes that. We become a society of impatient people, and now that's poured over into the church, and sometimes it's poured over into our relationship with God. If you've been a Christian for very long, you've experienced God's delays. David experienced them. He wrote this. He said, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Psalm 69, verse number 3. He says, I'm crying. I have cried out to God so much my throat is dried up. Mine eyes fail to water tears anymore. He said, while I'm still waiting for God. And waiting is especially difficult in light of the shortness of life. Now, some of you, I'm sure, are young age, but some of you are older like me, and if the Lord's going to answer my prayers, well, quite frankly, he's running out of time. I don't mean that disrespectfully, but I don't have a whole lot longer here on this earth. I hope to have several more good years, but I mean, I'm getting on up there now. Of course, it's difficult for all of us. When the Lord makes us wait, Paul must have struggled as he remained in custody in Caesarea, for an example. The word we get seems almost like an insignificant passing comment. Acts 24:27, the word of God says, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Now, you can read that in a few seconds, but it represents 2 long years of Paul's life. And he wasn't getting any younger either. You'll look in vain for any mention of God in this verse to gain some political capital. A selfish politician leaves God's number one apostle to the Gentiles in prison. The preaching of the gospel among the Gentiles is going to have to wait, while this guy gains a little political capital by keeping Paul in jail longer still than his 2 years. As Paul waited and prayed and prayed and waited, he must have wondered, why in the world doesn't God get me out of here? Now, there are many lessons that we can learn from our times on waiting, on God's waiting list, but I'd like to focus on 2. And the first one is, God uses his delays to teach us to trust him more. And I want to make a couple of comments now about trusting the Lord. First off, we need to learn to trust him, and while we're waiting is a good time to do that. Trust him with our agendas. Now, Paul had an agenda, and it didn't include going to jail. Matter of fact, he wrote it in Romans 15, 25 through 29. Just before he went to Jerusalem, he told us what his agenda was. His plan was to deliver the gift he had collected among the Gentile churches. Then he was going to go to Rome for some ministry. And then he was thinking about heading west to Spain. Now, this is not a self-centered agenda. Paul was seeking to serve the Lord by spreading the gospel where Christ had not yet been named, he says in Romans 15, 20. That's a noble calling. That was a godly agenda. But it was not God's agenda, apparently, at least none of the way Paul envisioned it. He would eventually get to Rome, but not as quickly and easily as he had hoped. I'm not even sure he ever made it to Spain. I'm not really sure about that. But while Paul sat in prison in Caesarea, he had to submit his agenda to God and trust God to work out God's agenda in his own time. Now, there's nothing wrong with godly desires and hopes for the future. We need to plan as much as we're able, at least. We need to set godly spiritual goals for our lives and for our ministries. But after all the planning, all the goal setting, all the strategies that you work up, we still have to bow and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. You have total editorial power over this agenda that I have set up. You know, I learned a long time ago, God is not in the plan blessing business. Do you know what I mean? He's not in the plan blessing bit. It's not say, God, I've come up with this plan. I want you to bless it. God says, no, it needs to be my plan. It needs to be my plan. And then I'm bound by my word to bless it. We're talking now about trust. The second thing I want to learn is we must learn to trust his power. I said first, we trust his agenda. Now we trust his power. Paul wasn't trying to get out of prison so that he could go do his own thing. I think about one of the thieves on the cross. He said, if you're Christ, get us down. I think he probably wanted to go back being a thief like he was and a murderer before he was. You know, things he was doing before he got nailed to the cross. Paul didn't want to do his own thing. He wanted to spread the gospel to the lost. But here he sat, confined in jail day after day, month after month, for over 2 years. As he sat there, Paul had to deepen his trust in God to accomplish God's sovereign will in his life through the miraculous power of God himself. In Acts chapter 23, the Lord told Paul that he would preach the word in Rome, so that wasn't guesswork. But there are several things about that the Lord did not tell Paul. Does he ever do that to you? Does God tell you what he wants you to do or what you're going to do, but he leaves out some of the details? Well, he left out a lot of details for Paul. He said, Paul, you're going to preach the word in Rome. But he didn't tell Paul about the plot on his life by more than 40 bloodthirsty Jews. He didn't tell him about the false accusations that he would find brought against him in Felix's courtroom. He didn't mention that Paul would be incarcerated for 2 years in Caesarea and then transported to Rome as a prisoner. Oh, by the way, he didn't bother to relate that, you know, little detail about being shipwrecked in the Mediterranean Sea and spending the entire winter on Malta. All of those trials and delays, God never mentioned. He said, you're going to go to Rome. Paul's thinking, well, okay, I'll go to Rome. But he didn't realize he was going to have to take the scenic route, so to speak. So in all those difficulties and trials and delays, Paul had to trust God's promise to him. and wait on God to work out all the details according to God's plan and according to God's time. Now you think for a moment, well, this is all Felix's fault, and I suppose from a human standpoint you'd say so, but I want you to understand something. Felix did not frustrate God's plans for Paul. No self-centered, corrupt politician, no matter how powerful, can put a bump in the road of God's sovereign plan for your life, for my life, for the life of his people. God wants us to trust him. When it seems like some evil person, some sorry person is blocking our ability to move forward with our plans for serving the Lord, God says, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. We usually don't understand the reason for God's delays, but we need to trust that he knows what he's doing, that he's not frustrated in the least by the whims and little intricacies of wicked man. We're talking about learning to trust God. The third thing we learn to trust God while we're waiting is we learn to trust him and not our own circumstances. You know, I would imagine, I don't know this as a fact, but I would certainly imagine that every time Felix called for Paul to come before him, and that seemed to happen quite often as you study the scripture, I got a feeling that every time Felix called Paul out of jail and said, come up here, I want to talk to you, Paul's hopes must have soared. I'm sure Paul is thinking, maybe today is the day Felix is going to trust in Christ. And then suddenly all this is going to make sense. Because if that man can get saved, I tell you what, that's going to be wonderful. And then suddenly I'll understand why God put me here. Just think of the influence this powerful man can have for the cause of Christ. How many doors this guy could open, and certainly he'd probably let me out of jail, wouldn't he? That must be the reason God has me in prison, because Felix is going to become a Christian. Or maybe when Felix called for Paul and they went up and had an enjoyable conversation, it appears they did because Felix was always calling him up, wanting to talk to him. He must have enjoyed it. Paul is probably going back to his cell and say, you know, that was a real good conversation. I think we had a real camaraderie there. Maybe, just maybe, this fellow's going to release me so that I can get on with my ministry. We seem to have a rapport with each other in a mutual respect. But fact is, Felix, to our knowledge at least, never became a Christian. And he certainly didn't release Paul. So when God delays, we must trust him by submitting our agendas to him. We must trust him to accomplish his will through us by his power. We must trust in God, not in our circumstances. And fourth, we're talking about trusting in the Lord. Fourth, we must learn to trust him by always doing right. You know, it would probably be natural for Paul to try to come up with some way to get out of jail. I mean, he's got no business there anyway, in the sense he's not really broken any law. So Paul might say, you know, I could bribe someone to let me get out. I don't have any money, but through the churches, I could probably raise some money. So if I go to a guard and offer him some money, you know, to bribe him, he might let me out. I might could even bribe Felix. Who knows? Or maybe a well-executed prison break. Yeah, I could get together with some other guys and we might could overpower a guard and get out of here. But it doesn't seem to indicate that Paul ever thought about that. Why not? I think because Paul knew that doing right and not reaching his own personal goals was better than doing wrong in order to reach them. Remember, Paul's goals were godly goals. He wanted to preach the gospel in the regions that had never heard of Christ. But he would not compromise his integrity in order to reach a godly goal. He trusted God by doing what he knew to be right, even though it seemed at the time to sacrifice his goals for sharing the gospel. I remember reading a story of Robert E. Lee. This is after the war between the states, and Robert E. Lee was, you ever been to Arlington? That land was confiscated by the Northern armies taken from General Lee, and he was never paid for it, never given it back, and he was having a hard time. And I believe it was the state of Virginia offered him a lot of money. It was like $10,000, which back then was a whole lot of money, if he would endorse the lottery. And Robert E. Lee refused to do so. He said, I'm not going to use my reputation in order to encourage someone to gamble. In other words, he's saying, you know, I could sure use the money. Things are tight. It would help me. It would help my family. But I cannot compromise. And I think that's what Paul's saying here. I'm not going to compromise. Now, there's something else I want us to learn. We're talking about God uses this time. He can use delays to teach us to trust him more. But secondly, I want to say God can use delays to teach us to submit more thoroughly to his lordship. How do we do this? Number one, we submit by acknowledging God is in control. Now, we all like to think we're in control. We're in control of our own lives. We're in control of our circumstances. But the reality is we're not in control. God is. We also submit by not grumbling. Did you know while Paul was imprisoned and while that imprisonment dragged on and on and on, it is then that most believe he wrote the letter to the Philippian church? Can I read to you something he wrote to the Philippian church while he was in jail in Caesarea? Quote, Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Picture Paul sitting in a dungeon, and he's telling the Philippian church, and I think he's writing this to himself under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's writing this to himself and to them. He says, do not murmur and complain. You need to be blameless and harmless. You need to act like children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And he said, in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, shine as lights in the world. I think his perspective from being in that dungeon probably helped him to write that, helped him to add dynamic to it. It was under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I understand that. But I'm saying Paul had a vested interest in that verse of scripture because he's reminding himself, this is no place to gripe and complain. Even though Paul's prayers were not answered as quickly as he wished, he was not delivered as quickly as he wished, he learned to be contented in God's sovereign plan for his life. He submitted to the lordship of Christ by not grumbling, and then he submitted to the lordship of Christ by claiming every opportunity he could find in his current situation. The well-known New England preacher, Phillips Brooks, was known far and wide as having a testimony of being a very calm man, a man of poise and calm. But at times he suffered moments of frustration and irritability, and one day a friend saw him pacing the floor like a caged lion and said, what is the trouble, Dr. Brooks? What's wrong? Brooks answered and said, the trouble is, you want to know what the trouble is? I'll tell you, the trouble is I'm in a hurry. But God isn't. Sometimes I get that way. I get in a hurry. I say, God, we got a lot to do today. We got to get busy. Let's get moving here. And God seems to take his time. You know, you never see a picture of God. You can never visualize God walking, pacing the floors of heaven, biting his nails. It just doesn't happen. Paul was probably, I'm just thinking here, in his mid-50s at the time of this imprisonment. Speaking firsthand, when you're in your mid-50s, you begin to think about the fact that, well, you may not have as many years left to serve the Lord. I think about the fact that John Calvin died at 54, Martin Luther at 62, Jonathan Edwards at 55, Charles Spurgeon died at 57. Good grief, I'm already on borrowed time. Spending a number of years in jail certainly is not on my agenda right now, and I don't think it was on Paul's agenda either. I don't think it was part of his vision for the future. Gee, I need to spend 2 years of my life in jail. So here's what I'm saying today. When God brings delays into our life, when your deliverance is delayed, learn to trust him more fully and learn to submit more thoroughly to his lordship over our lives. So what is the conclusion of the whole matter as we really think about it today? I want you to understand God could deliver you today. I don't care what kind of situation you're in. It really doesn't matter. God could deliver you instantaneously from whatever situation, for whatever adversity, from whatever hardship it is that's causing you pain, may be causing you heartache. Perhaps it's causing you upset or struggle in some fashion or form. I don't know. It's causing you some form of discomfort. I don't know what it is. But God could deliver you at any moment. And since He could, it's only natural for us to believe that He should. I mean, wouldn't we? If you had a loved one that was hurting and you could fix it, wouldn't you fix it? Well, of course you would. Why would God delay when He could deliver? Well, if you were expecting an answer, I'm not going to give you one, because there's any number of reasons might be the real answer to that question, but I wouldn't pretend to have all those answers. But I can offer you a bit of encouragement from David. It's that verse of scripture we started with. David said in Psalm 27, 13 and 14, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Maybe that's the message God has for us today. Are you waiting for deliverance? Your deliverance from sickness or disease or hurt or whatever it might be. Are you waiting? You remember to trust in the Lord. You submit to His plan and agenda in your life. Delayed deliverance. Well, with that, I want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast. If our programs are a blessing to you, I would enjoy so much hearing from you. I really would. As a matter of fact, let me also mention, these programs are available on the Path Light podcast. If you have an app on your phone or on your computer or whatever where you listen to podcasts, check out the Path Light podcast. You'll find this program and archives of many other programs that are there for you. You could also listen to this program on the Go Mix Christian Radio Facebook page. It'll be there. It'll also be on the Christian Bible College Facebook page and the Pathway Christian Academy Facebook page. You'll find it on all those places, and there's a few others also. Until next time, T.D. Worthington say, may God richly bless you is our prayer. You have a wonderful week as you walk with our Lord.